So glad to have you with us as we continue the noon sessions for the Holy Week Revival. I want to remind you that if you have a cell phone, to either silence it or turn it off. And I understand if someone works the medical profession or first responder, that we understand. But if I can keep my cell phone from making noise and most of the others, that's a helpful thing. Amen. And I want to remind you that, as I said last night, that we do 2 weeks of special services a year. And so this week, the week of increase, these services are for our benefit. So I want to thank you for carving out the time to be here. I want to thank you for carving out the time to be here in person. I know that there are those watching and listening online now and later. And so we're mindful of that. We're believing God for great things this week. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this week and to hear from your word how we can more effectively get our prayers answered and how we can more effectively walk in the best that you have for us. We thank you for all that you have done on our behalf. We thank you for all that your Son Jesus has done on our behalf, that we can be forgiven. We can be saved, we can be a part of your family, and we thank you for sending your Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to direct us into all truth and understanding. Each day I've been making mention that whether you're a new believer getting started in your prayer life or you realize you need a reboot or reset, again, I would encourage you from the cafe to grab Pastor's Confession Booklet and also the Book of Prayer. And again, It's all scripture personalized, but it will help you get started in praying and confessing the Word of God over your life and over your family and over your health and over your body and over your finances. The best thing to pray is what the Word of God says. Amen? There are some key verses that I've been giving you over the last few days. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Paul writes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Monday we dealt with that. The Holy Spirit, He helps us when we pray. And of course, you know, I've grown up in church my whole life. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm learning this week. Amen. I'm learning as I listen to Pastor in the evening services. We learn all that we can learn. We study, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved. We do that, amen? But there comes a time when we simply just need to pray regarding needs or circumstances in our lives. And as I challenged you Monday, ask the Lord to put on your heart people to pray for. He will. He will move upon your heart people, situations to pray for. You know, you could be, you know, and I realize there are young people here, then there are adults here. You know, you could be, you young people, you could be in class and, you know, you're supposed to be paying attention to physics or chemistry, but you're thinking about something a friend told you and something that they're dealing with or something that they're going through. Pray for them. Intercede for them. And you might say, well, despite being in church, you're not sure how or what verses. The Holy Spirit will help you in that. And for us adults, us grown-ups, you know, we can be out and about, we can be running errands, we can be going from this place to that place and start to think about someone or a situation. If we will make ourselves available to pray for others, the Holy Spirit will pray in us and He will pray through us. And so we need to pray. We need to make ourselves available to pray. Paul wrote in Romans 8, beginning in verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what. I think we could reasonably also say we do not know who we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I told Jessica last night after the evening service that, you know, you might think that Pastor and I coordinate and plan everything. We do believe in being prepared, and we do plan. But, you know, when you might say, well, man, you know, they're in the same passages, dealing with same verses, that they planned all this. We didn't. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we would hear what needs to be heard, and that we would make the changes and the tweaks that we need to make to get better results. The Holy Spirit helps us, and the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. But we have to spend time in the Word, and we have to spend time in prayer. And yesterday we began dealing with how one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray, Pastor Monday night, he dealt with how Satan wants to give us a negative picture, a picture of failure. But see, that's not the picture God has for our lives. That's not the picture the Holy Spirit gives us. So one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us when we spend time in the Word and time in prayer is that he paints a picture for us of what God has in store for us. God's will, God's best, God's perfect will. If there are dreams and desires in your heart, as long as they're good and godly and righteous and in line with the Word of God, those dreams and desires, they're not from the devil. They are from Almighty God. So there are the dreams and desires that we have, the things that we want and desire. It's all wonderful, and our Heavenly Father wants us to have it. But He also wants to do exceedingly abundantly more. And one of the things that happens as we spend time in the Word, and as we spend time in prayer, and yes, we might have our list, and yes, we might use the confession booklet, but as we do what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about, he said that when we pray in the Spirit, we don't pray with our understanding. And he said, what will I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind. I'll sing with my spirit, I'll sing with my mind. That when we carve out time for prayer, just to spend time with the Lord, just to spend time with the Lord, just to spend time with the Lord, one of the things that happens is that the Holy Spirit will paint a picture of what God has in store for us, something to lift up our eyes to. And we need to lift up our eyes. So yesterday I took you to Genesis, and we'll continue in Genesis today in the life of Abraham. God had given Abraham a definite, specific promise. The Lord had said to Abraham, to your offspring, I will give this land. Yet Abraham, at the age of 75, and his wife Sarai, at the age of 65, they had no offspring. They had no natural children. Yet the Lord had said to them, to your offspring, I will give this land. And so God had given them a specific, definite promise. And someone might say, that's not possible. That's too hard. Well, I also took you yesterday to Mark chapter 9, where a father brought a child in need to 9 of the disciples. They failed to cast the devil out. Jesus arrived on the scene. There was a commotion. Father said, some translations, have compassion. Help us if you can. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I want you to think about something. At that point, Jesus had not yet given his life. He had not yet died on the cross. The price had not yet been paid for men and women to be born again. Whether we're talking about Abram or that father there in Mark 9, their sins were temporarily covered over. And so I want you to think about the fact that if an unsaved man or an unsaved woman, with their sins only temporarily covered over, and yes, the Holy Spirit might move upon their life, but an unsaved man or woman without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, if all things are possible for them, if they will believe God, then what is possible for us when we're born again and we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit? And you might say, oh, that seems out there. Well, see, this is precisely why we have to lift up our eyes and believe God for His best. And if we'll cooperate, if we'll be led, if we'll be leadable, if we'll be willing, the Holy Spirit will help us in that. As Paul says, that the Holy Spirit will help us in our weakness. You know, I'm 42 years old, but I'm learning. I'm growing. And I've got a lot to learn. And I've got a lot of ways in which I can grow. And who helps me in that? The Holy Spirit of God, as I spend time in the Word and time in prayer. And also time in church, these services. Faith comes how? By hearing and by hearing the word. And one of the things that he does is he quickens the word of God to us. Genesis chapter 13, Genesis 13 beginning in verse 14. And don't have time to deal with everything. Lot was a hindrance. And so sometimes you got to get the hindrances out and away. And Lot chose the better land, didn't matter, because Abraham was the one blessed by God. And so Genesis 13, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes. And see, that's what we need to do. We need to lift up our eyes. And the Holy Spirit will help us do that when we spend time in the Word and time in prayer. Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. And there's a very important principle here. The Holy Spirit helps us to lift up our eyes. He paints a picture of what our Heavenly Father has for us, what He wants to do in our lives, but we have to see it. And I think that's why when Pastor did the last power lunch on mind games and then on Wednesday nights and this week, we keep coming back to the mind. Yes, there's the battle of the mouth. But see what are we using our thought life for? What are we thinking about? What are we dwelling upon? As we go to sleep at night, what are we thinking about, dreaming about? What are we picturing? What are we envisioning? And the enemy, he's going to paint us a carnal, fleshly picture. Things that aren't edifying. Amen. You go over to Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us to think about only that which is pure and lovely. He gives a whole list. And so what we ought to be thinking about and dwelling upon is the fact that our Heavenly Father and all these young people, He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a destiny for your life. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. So he painted a picture for Abram. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. Now again, when God called Abram, he was 75. Sarai was 65. They seem too old, seems too hard, seems too difficult. Yet God is painting a picture for him. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. Verse 17, go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. So he was a man of worship, and he was a man of prayer. We saw yesterday, and we'll see a couple times again today, he was a man who instantly obeyed God. Whatever the need, whatever the dream or desire in your heart, it may seem to be impossible, but our Heavenly Father, he wants us to lift up our eyes. He wants us to lift up our eyes. And part of our challenge, I believe on Wednesday evening, February 21st, Pastor first used the illustration, you know, we've got the Word in us, but we've also got things that we've heard, things that we've seen, things that we've watched, things that we've listened to. And so on Wednesday, February 21st, he used an illustration from an old movie. I'd call it a classic now, the first Jurassic Park. I believe it's a Triceratops, but there's a great big pile of dinosaur manure. All the wrong things we've heard, all the wrong things we've been told, all the things of negativity and doubt and unbelief. Religious prejudice. And a religious prejudice says, well, God blessed Abram, God blessed Abraham, but that's not for us. Nonsense. You need to read and study Galatians chapter 3. And you need to read what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says that God does not show favoritism. So we all have to lift up our eyes. Say, I'm going to lift up my eyes. Now do our eyes get lifted up when we watch the Cowboys? Not if it's not going well. Do our eyes get lifted up when we watch something we shouldn't? There's a time and place for relaxation and entertainment. Our eyes get lifted up when we spend time in the Word. Our eyes get lifted up when we spend time in prayer. Our eyes get lifted up when we spend time in the house of God and hear the word of God preached and taught. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as Pastor dealt with on Wednesday, February 21st and 28th, we can all get a pile of unbelief going. And we got to get that out of our lives. And as I mentioned yesterday, we began with, Pastor said we're going to double. And someone might say, that's crazy. That's impossible. Well, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, all things are possible for him who believes God. So am I going to go with my opinion? Or am I going to go with what my Lord and Savior said? Jesus said, all things are possible for him who believes God. So that's either true or it's not. Jesus was either a truth teller or he was a liar. All things are possible for him who believes. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us do in prayer, one of the things that he does is we spend time in the Word and time in prayer, is he paints a picture, a vision of what God wants to do in our lives. Verse 15, all the land that you see, I will give to you. I mentioned how when I was a little guy, I didn't look forward to Sunday afternoons. Because Sunday afternoons, after church, after lunch, my parents would drive Christina and I around all afternoon and they'd look at homes. But what were they doing? That they were developing a picture or a vision for what they desire. But see, then there's the voice of the enemy, and there's the voice of religion, and things that we have bought into, and things that we believe based on what maybe a relative told us, or we heard in church at some point, or we heard in a sermon, that if it's 1,000 square feet, that somehow that's godly, or that's righteous. But if you bump up to 1,200 or 1,500 square feet, that might be unholy. That might cause you to backslide or sin. See, these are things that we can get deposited into our minds, but also into our hearts. You know, I've grown up here. I'm blessed that I grew up here. Amen? And I grew up at Faith Christian Center, not at Doubt Christian Center or some of the other alternatives. But even I have to lift up my eyes. Even I have to set doubt and unbelief aside. Even I have to challenge myself to again go back to the Word of God and say, all right, I might have this in mind, but what does my Heavenly Father want? What does He desire? All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. And we left off, and I said, this, what the Lord told Abraham reminds me of Isaiah 54, beginning in verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Enlarge the place of your tent. We could say it this way, whatever you have in mind, expand your vision. Whatever you have in mind, lift up your eyes. Whatever you have in mind, believe God for more. Believe God for greater. He wants to do greater in your life. You know, I think of these young people. If the Lord, as the Lord tarries, and if the Lord continues to tarry, we have to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to learn how to get our prayers answered. We have to learn how to walk in the provision and the blessing of Almighty God. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. I'm going to have Adrian go ahead and put up a photo. I mentioned yesterday a little tiny small tent. Now leave that up, Adrian. Now if you've ever watched an old Hollywood movie, maybe like Lawrence of Arabia or the original Ben-Hur, you know, a movie set in the Middle East, maybe in the course of the movie, there's a sheikh or a shah. Now, can you picture Abraham living in that tent? See, we get ideas in our head, but they're not Bible ideas. And we know from the Word of God, you read about the life of Abraham, that when he went to rescue Lot, he had 318 trained men. They would have had wives, they would have had children, they had families. Can you picture Abraham living in that tent with 318 trained men. Not unless they got shrunk down. Now, I used this as an illustration yesterday. You know, Samuel's first wolf camp out. I'm not an outdoorsman. I just need Wi-Fi and a cappuccino. And so we had to borrow that. Jessica's like, you don't want to look like you don't know what you're doing. So I set that up in the living room of our home. Now, Emily, she crawled in that, and man, it was roomy for her. But when I had that set up in our living room, Jessica said to me, she said, you need a bigger tent. And I thought, nah, no, I don't. And so got to the camp out. Even though I had practiced setting it up, it still took me quite a while. Got all set up. Then later that night, you know, finally when the boys calmed down, all right, it's finally time to go to sleep. Praise the Lord. Get in the tent. I got in the tent and laid down, and the back of my head was touching the back of the tent, and my feet were nearly sticking throughout the other side. And I thought, shoot, my wife was right. I need a bigger tent. But see, that's where the voice of religion comes in. No, you don't. That's wrong. You don't need bigger. You don't need better. You don't need nicer. You don't need roomy. And see, now, if this bothers you, this is why we have to renew our minds to the Word of God. Because our Heavenly Father is El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. He is the all-sufficient God. He is the God of more than enough. Later in Abraham's life, he revealed himself to Abram as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider. Now, that night in the wolf campout, when I had trouble going to sleep because I was thinking, man, she was right and I'm wrong. And I was not coming. My head was touching the back of the tent. My feet were, every which way I moved, there were noises, on the fabric of the tent. I was really miserable. How many hours is it till 5 a.m. prayer and I can get out of this and start walking around again? Now, Jessica told me to get a bigger tent, so was it her will that I sleep in a small tent? Was it? It must have been the will of God for me to have a little tiny tent and sleep. Is that the will of God? Can I blame God? Can I even blame the devil? Was it the devil's fault that I didn't listen to my wife and go to academy and buy a bigger tent? You know, when I was setting up that little tiny tent, man rolled up, and he had this great, big, huge tent. And it wasn't even his. He borrowed it from someone. But I could have fit 10 of my tents in his tent. Then he was hooking up power. I was like, what are you doing? He had a king-size inflatable mattress. It's vision. It's what you can picture for your life. It's what you can accept. It's what you settle for. And see, we get these religious ideas going. Well, if it's this, that's holy. If it's this, it's not. Or we get it, well, that's for Abram, or that's for that other guy. That's not for me. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, will it be done unto you? We could all say it this way. According to the picture and the vision of your life that you have, it will be done according to you. And that's why the Holy Spirit of God, as we spend time in the Word and in prayer, He challenges us to lift up our eyes, to not see what we can see, but to see what God has in store for us and what God wants to do. If we will be willing, if we will be led, if we will cooperate. And so I laid in the tent that night, and I lifted up my eyes, and I thought, there has to be better than this. The young people today don't realize how blessed they are, because at the previous building, we didn't have a gym, and so when we had basketball practice or whatever it was, we had to go to LZ Odom. I don't know if that facility's still there, and if that wasn't available, we had to go to other facilities. You know, sometimes my children, and I get it, you know, Emily sings "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round." She'll see a yellow school bus and say she wants to ride in a bus. I say, no, you don't. You don't want to ride in a bus. I get it. But there was a point back in the day at I-30, and I don't remember the exact story, whether we were given the bus or what it was, but we had a yellow bus for a while, and it was terrible. And it would break down. It was not a blessing. And then later, the blessing of the Lord, we had some passenger vans. But still, you cram into a passenger van with a bunch of kids. It was, you know, and then after practice, it smelled terrible. There was a point we had an excursion. That was nice. The church school should have kept that because that would be actually pretty awesome now. You could get it wrapped and it'd be special. It'd be worth a lot of money. So I decided sitting in that tent, laying in the tent that night, I'm going to lift up my eyes. And we have these nice Sprinter vans for the kids to go back and forth to games and practice. And so for the next camp out, I lifted up my eyes. Go ahead and put up those other photos, Adrian. Now, I know when I showed up at that next camp out, I know probably some of the young men, some of the dads probably thought, that's ridiculous. But see, if you can see it, you can have it. And if you can lift up your eyes and picture it, God wants you to have it. Our Heavenly Father wants you to have it. And it was nice. We got there, I put it in park, I hooked up power and water, and we were set up. Praise the Lord. And that night when it was dark, wasn't dark at our campsite. Man, it had surround LED lighting. It was nice. And then that night it stormed and it rained. The next morning, men told me about how wet they got. I didn't get wet. I did not get rained on. Now, don't be offended by this. Now, that night, though, in the Sprinter van, finally, you know, it's quiet. Samuel's quiet, going to sleep. I laid down. You know what I thought? Don't be offended. I thought, this is nice, but it's not big enough. I thought, this is nice, but it's not big enough. See, who told you that the dream or desire of your heart was too big? Who told you that on your prayer list, whatever it is you're believing God for or praying about, it's too hard, it's too difficult? Who told you that whatever the need is or whatever you're praying about or whatever you're believing God for, that God will do that for Sarai? Or God that'll do that for a woman named Hannah, but he won't do that for you. Who told you that? It's not God, and it's not his word. It is the enemy. It is religion. And that's why we've got to set aside that doubt and unbelief and again return to the word of God and be led of the Spirit and cooperate with the Spirit. And sometimes in prayer, you got to be quiet when you pray and listen. Because he's trying to help you and lead you and guide you and challenge you to lift up your eyes. So stop limiting God. Believe God for bigger and greater. Believe God for the impossible. Lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. All that you can see, God will give to you. All that you can see in the Word of God as belonging to you, God will give it to you. Why do people do without? They don't see it in the Word. Or they see it in the Word and they have a religious reason for denying it or saying it's not for them. They don't believe it belongs to them. Or they don't know the Word. Or they don't believe it's God's will for their lives, even though it's in the Word of God. Or sometimes we head down this road. They don't think they're good enough. They don't think they're worthy enough. Or they wrongly think that God has favorites, that what he does for one, he won't do for another. And this is why we must be led by the Holy Spirit and pray by the Spirit. And this is one of the things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. John 16, verse 14, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Now, does that sound like defeat? Does that sound like failure? Does that sound like God doing terrible things in your life? He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Abram had a specific, definite promise, but the promise was slow in coming to pass. Again, Romans 8 and verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. And one of the ways that he does that is by painting a picture, a vision of what God wants to do. But how can he do that if we don't spend time in the Word or in prayer? Whereas I got into yesterday, and then I was surprised. Pastor got into it last night. How can the Holy Spirit do that if we're living by the flesh? If the only time we think about spiritual things is on Sunday mornings or Sunday mornings every other week or Sunday mornings once a month, and the rest of the time it's the flesh. We got to get in the Word and in prayer. Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verse 1. After this, and this was after Abram rescued his nephew Lot, after Abram tied. Genesis 15, beginning in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your very great reward. That's awesome, God. But, and that's all, that's us most of the time. Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside. So, you know, God wants to do in our lives exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. But then we say, well, I see this and I see that. Or what about this circumstance? What about that circumstance? But see, if we'll spend time in the Word and time in prayer, he wants to paint a picture. And that'll help us believe him and lift up our eyes. He took him outside and said, look at the heavens and count the stars, if you can indeed count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. Now, you got to get out away from the city to see the stars anymore. But what God was doing was painting a picture for Abram. Look at the heavens. Count the stars if you can count them. So shall your offspring be. And I love verse 6 here. It says, Genesis 15, 6, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Paul quotes that in Romans 4. It's quoted again in Galatians. Abraham believed God and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. So all things are possible for him who believes. So in your life, stop limiting God. Lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. All that you can see in the Word of God as belonging to you, you can possess it. You can take possession of it by faith. Now, as we'll see, it doesn't all happen overnight. It takes time. That's when the enemy shows up, or he lines people up to get us into doubt and unbelief. Abram had a specific, definite promise, but the promise was slow in coming to pass. And so now we come to Genesis chapter 16. And in Genesis chapter 16, 10 years have gone by since Genesis 12. Abram is now 85. Sarai, now 75. They had a specific, definite promise, but the promise was slow in coming to pass. So Abram and Sarai did what you and I so often do, and that is they resorted to the flesh. They resorted to the arm of the flesh. Well, if God's not going to do it, we're going to do it some way, somehow. 10 years had gone by, a decade, and still no child. So Abram and Sarai did what you and I so often do. They resorted to the flesh. Now, yesterday I gave you Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Pastor dealt with it some last night as well. Galatians 5, verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. It could also say so that we do not get or receive what we want, so we don't walk in all that God has for us. And Pastor pointed out that in our lives, once you're born again, you are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. As born again people, our spirit is to rule our lives. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, that is not to rule our lives. We have emotions. It's natural. But our spirit, the spirit on the inside of you, is to be in charge. When we're saved, your spirit's saved. Your body's not saved. Your flesh is not saved. Our flesh wants to do all kinds of things. And I think it's a preacher thing. We do church at night, and I go home, and the kids are finally asleep. What do I want to do? I want to eat. That's my flesh. But my flesh is not to be in charge. My spirit is to be in charge. And our spirit is to be submitted to Almighty God. And our spirit is to be submitted to the Spirit of God. And we are to live by Him. We are to be led by Him. We are to pray by Him. We are to ask Him to help us when we pray. I also gave you Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in sync with the Spirit. Let us keep in alignment with the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says, if by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled or directed by the Spirit of God. And I gave you the image of a symphony or an orchestra and a conductor conducting the music. See, that's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we have to listen. We have to be led. We have to cooperate. 10 years had gone by, a decade, and still no child. So Abram and Sarah did what you and I so often do. They resorted to the flesh. And that's what we do when we doubt God. That's what we do when we doubt His Word. That's what we do when we doubt His promises. We resort to the arm of the flesh. The Bible says that some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the name of our Almighty God. So you have to decide, are you going to have it by faith, or are you going to do things in your own strength and your own ability and your own power? Well, if you do it your way, you're going to live with your results. And that's never God's best. 10 years had gone by. They had a definite, specific promise. But the promise was slow in coming to pass. And so Abram and Sarai did what we so often do. They resorted to the flesh. And you know the story. Sarai encouraged Abram to have a son by her servant girl named Hagar. You can read about it in Genesis 16. It was Sarai's idea. And while Abram should have told her no, he agreed to it. Of course, Hagar became pregnant. And then Sarai blamed Abram and tried to bring God into it. Genesis 16, verse 5. Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." We get impatient. We stop waiting on God and on His timing, and we get into the flesh. We don't walk by faith. We walk by our circumstances, by what we see with our eyes. And we operate by our intellect, by our bright ideas. And we try to make it happen in our own strength. We do things our way. And the result is trouble, 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 trouble. You read later in Genesis that it says of Ishmael and his descendants that they were always at war with everyone around them. Yes, Ishmael was blessed because Abram was his father. But it led to trouble, 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 trouble. Then and even up to today. And see, so what we do is we have a specific promise from God. And we have promises from God to us in His Word. And yes, the reality is that we're all at different places in faith. And as Pastor says, based on the progress we've made, it's easier for us to believe God for some things than other things. And so the reality is that in our list are the things that we're believing God for. There are things that happen quickly, and there are things that seem to be slow in coming to pass. And what we do is we give up on those things, or we resort to the arm of the flesh, and it leads to trouble. And what we like to do is we like to blame God or we like to blame the devil, but often it is the result of what we have done. We like to blame God or blame the devil, but how many of God's promises have been delayed in our lives because we have been living by the flesh and not by the Spirit? How many of God's promises have been delayed in our lives because we've been living by doubt and unbelief instead of faith? Abraham was, and yet God had not yet changed his name, so Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. 10 years had gone by. They had a promise. It seemed slow in coming to pass. So they resorted to the arm of the flesh. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. And then what happened next? Another 13 years went by. 13 more years. 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 How many of God's promises have been delayed in our lives because we've been living by doubt and unbelief instead of faith? How many of God's promises have been delayed in our lives because we've been living by the word of men instead of the word of God? How many of God's promises have been delayed in our lives because we've been living by the flesh? Another 13 years went by, but it was completely unnecessary. See, faith is, no matter what the circumstances, I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to believe the promise of God. And I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. And if God tells me to obey or do something, I will. But I'm not going to do it my way. And I'm not going to go by my own bright ideas. Because that's what gets us into trouble. It's that soul that gets us into trouble. It's the flesh that gets us into trouble. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was wonderful. God told Abram that his descendants would be slaves for more than 400 years, but that they would be led out, and they would be led out with great spoils. It's all wonderful. But you know what happened? They spent 40 years wandering the wilderness. How many days should the journey have taken? 11 days. If you go to the beginning of Deuteronomy, it tells us the journey should have taken them 11 days. It took them 40 years. Now, I love time with family, and I've told my dad that I picture doing like a road trip to Mackinac Island and seeing all that. He's like, son, you have no idea how far that is from Texas. He's like, you put your family in the car and drive that far, you're going to have trouble walking in love. Well, 2 or 3 days, 4 days, that's a while, amen. But what if it took us 40 years? What if Sophie was an old woman by the time we got done with that trip to Mackinac Island? The journey should have taken them 11 days, 40 years. Well, Brother Austin, that's because Satan is so powerful. No. 11 days, but it took 40 years. Brother Austin, that's because God was trying to teach them something. You read Hebrews. You read it honestly. We find out that they spent 40 years in the wilderness because of their sin, their disobedience, their rebellion, their unbelief. You see, if I want to sleep in a small tent, God will let me. But it doesn't change the fact that in Christ, the blessing of Abraham belongs to us. So if I want to lift up my eyes and say, you know what? I ain't doing that. I'm going to do something nicer. And somebody might say, yeah, but what does that cost? If I remember right, that cost about $1,700. I know the young people might think that's a lot, but you need to get dialed into how much things cost in 2024. If the Almighty God cannot bring an extra $1,700 into my hands above and beyond, how are we going to build phase two? See, we get it in our minds, and then in our hearts, something's hard, something's difficult, something's too expensive. Who do we serve? We serve El Shaddai. We serve the Almighty God. So some promises seem slow and coming to pass. Go to the book of Daniel. Daniel was praying about something. An angel of the Lord, when he finally got, Daniel said, from the moment you prayed, I was dispatched with your answer. There was a delay because there was spiritual opposition. There can be delay, but the fight of faith is to believe God and to believe his word and to not quit, to not give up, to not throw in the towel, to keep standing in faith. It's what Jesus taught in Luke 18:1, to always pray and never give up. I believe it's best to avoid the detours of doubt and unbelief. I believe it's best to avoid the detours of sin, disobedience, rebellion, and unbelief. How do we receive any good thing from God? It is by faith. And that's what Paul wrote to the believers in Galatia. Look at Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before your very eyes? Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? And this is where he refers to Abraham, the father of our faith. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So faith is how we receive any good thing from God. Verse 9, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham. Verse 10, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing, what blessing? Genesis 12, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. What blessing? That blessing. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's you and me, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith. How? By faith. By faith. This is how we receive any good thing from God. Abram and Sarai, they resorted to the arm of the flesh. But as we'll see, how did they finally get their answer, their promise? By faith. Abram and Sarah, promise was slow in coming to pass, so they resorted to the flesh. But praise God, his mercies are new every morning. Praise God, he is gracious and he is merciful. And praise God for second chances. But listen, I don't want to wait 13 years for the promise of God. And so that's why I said Monday, and I know, or like last night, Pastor, dealing with the flesh. People want to hear that, well, it's God's fault or it's the devil's fault. It couldn't possibly be me or anything in my life the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about for the last 5 years. Listen, if there is something in my life that needs to change so I can have my answer tomorrow, I'm going to change it today. If there's something in my life that I need to do so I can have my breakthrough on Friday, I'm going to change it, I'm going to repent of it, I'm going to get it out of my life so I can have what belongs to me. That's my attitude. Peter writes, God, our Father, he is not slow in keeping his promises. So that's why we've got to get the doubt and unbelief out of our lives. That's why we've got to get everything that grieves the Holy Spirit out of our lives and every hindrance. Genesis 17, beginning in verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This thing of living by the Spirit, not by the flesh, it's a daily thing. So I want to challenge your thinking. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. We know from what Paul writes that we are to live as the righteousness of Christ. What pleases God? What life, what kind of life pleases God? The answer is in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. See, Abram and Sarai resorted to the flesh. They failed. But where had they failed? They had failed to believe God. They had failed to walk by faith and not by sight. See, I remember being y'all's age and be perfect. See, if our heart's right before God, we're learning, we're growing, we're improving. If the Holy Spirit convicts, we're changing, we're repenting. This weekend's Easter weekend. We needed someone who was perfect to lay down his life for us because none of us could be perfect. So if we have failed, if we have missed it, where have we missed it? The answer is faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because everyone who comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. See, I do my best to live a life that's pleasing to God. I do my best to grow and mature, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But I'm not perfect. Sophie's here this morning. You can ask her, is your dad perfect? And she's probably, I don't even want to look embarrassed or put her on the spot, but I'm not perfect. My Savior is perfect. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what was the challenge for Abraham? It was to receive by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Now, Abram, Christ had not yet come. His sins were not washed away, canceled out from his life. God was at work. The Holy Spirit was at work, but he was not born again. Praise God for his grace and mercy. Abram needed some help walking by faith, and God helped him here in Genesis 17. Verse 2, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, which means exalted father. Your name will be Abraham, father of many, for I have made you a father of many nations. God then gave him the covenant of circumcision, which he took action on and obeyed that same day. Verse 15, God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, which means princess. Her name will be Sarah, which means queen or mother of princes. Don't tell me the mouth doesn't matter. They needed some help walking by faith and not by sight. The Bible says Abraham believed God and God credited it to him as righteousness. That's faith. In spite of what we see, in spite of the circumstances, we believe God. We believe his word, and the promise, no matter how long in coming to pass, the promise will come to pass. As Pastor was saying, we believe we receive. It's just a matter of time. We believe we receive. So God help them. Praise God for his grace and mercy. You might say, I sure wish God would help me. Why don't you spend time in the word and time in prayer? Why don't you just not talk to God, but listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit? I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. They weren't perfect. They weren't perfect in faith. Abraham laughed. You read on, you find out that Sarah laughed too. So they weren't perfect. God came later with two angels. The Lord visited Abraham with two angels, and he told them this time next year, that's Genesis 18 and verse 10, about this time next year, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. She laughed, but Abraham had laughed too. And this is another lie of the enemy. Well, if I could just be perfect enough, God will hear me. If I could just be perfect enough, God will answer me. He doesn't answer us on the basis of our righteousness. He answers us on the basis of Jesus Christ's righteousness in His Word. God helped them. He changed their names. He changed their confession. But they were not perfect. God again spoke the promise, this time next year. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Verse 17, Lord spoke about what he was about to do in regards to judgment. Verse 18, the Lord said, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation. All nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him that he will direct or command his children and household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. So the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Go over to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, beginning in verse 1. The Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. Why don't we say this? Say, as he had said. See, if we stand on the word, it's going to come to pass. If we stand on the word of God, it will be a reality in our lives. It is just a matter of time. Paul says it this way, at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. The Lord was gracious to Sarah and did for Sarah what he had promised. She became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac, which means he laughs. Look at verse 6. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. All things are possible with God. And somebody might say, this is too hard, this is too difficult. Who told you? It was not God, and it was not the Word of God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. They laughed in doubt, but praise God for His grace and mercy, because they believed God, and He credited it to them as righteousness. They laughed in doubt, but because they believed God, and He credited it to them as righteousness. The day came when they did not laugh in doubt, but they laughed in faith. They laughed in faith. Sarah laughed. Sounds a whole lot like what Jesus said in John chapter 16. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Say this, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for helping me by your Spirit to lift up my eyes, to believe you for your best, for all the wonderful things you want to do in my life. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that if there are things and desires that I have let go of, that I have given up on, that I have doubted you on, I thank you for quickening those things to me by your Spirit. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe your Word. And while I may have doubted in the past, I know that your Word is true. And I believe I receive by faith. And so I thank you. The day is coming when I will laugh, but I will laugh in faith, and I will laugh because you have brought the promise to pass. In Jesus' name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. The Holy Spirit of God helps us when we pray. And one of the ways He does that is by challenging us to lift up our eyes, to believe God for His best. Another way the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray is by giving us wisdom and divine ideas to know what to do.